Okay, we're getting into God's Word. We're looking at John chapter 8 and verses 22 through 30 this morning, which Paul had already read. The title of this message is "To How to Die in Your Sins." You know, there are ways that people die. It's a natural thing. Everything under the sun dies eventually. You know, it's just a matter of time and due course. And so it's something to look forward to in one aspect, that we're going home to be with the Lord. And it's another thing, too, that we will be missed by our loved ones and we will miss them. But remember, please, my brethren, that we have an eternity to spend with one another. One day we will see our loved ones. And those that we don't, remember, God in His love will wipe every tear from our eyes. And we will not remember those things of the former. And I think of the things of the present and in the future, I think we'll be able to recognize one another in heaven. And we'll have different names and so on and so forth. And so there's a lot of good things. But let's get back to where we are now. Let's go back to the time of Jesus. Let's go back to the time when He was made flesh. He's the incarnate Son of God. And so John writes his gospel based on this premise that we have, as we looked at last week, the light of the world. But because men's hearts are evil, and ours is too, we're sinners saved by the grace of God, that we love darkness rather than we love light. John chapter 1. And so that's why Jesus came into the world. Remember, people have a tendency to focus on the physical. Mind you, sometimes, and we know this today, there are people that are suffering very much physically and mentally, just as Hope graciously said, and emotionally, etc., etc. We're all suffering in one way or the other. But Jesus understood the ultimate suffering. He was humiliated. He was degraded. He was also disown Him as being God in the flesh. And so we, as people, I'm just awed at how they treated Him. Remember about the woman that was who was caught in committing adultery. Well, you know, where was the guy that was just as wrong as she was? And, you know, why do things like this happen? Well, it's simple as this. Jesus allows us to go through trials so that we can glorify Him. Trials are there to strengthen us. Trials are there to help us. And I have to pause with this. You know, it goes with saying in John 14:1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." This is what Jesus is saying to us today. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." You know, and so He will be there with us. We have the Holy Spirit right now dwelling within us. We have the Word of God that speaks to us, and we know that He sits on the right hand. So let me encourage you today. As He was bombarded with all kinds of temptations and lust, remember He was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days, even at, you know, after He had fasted, you know, and He understands we all hit our low points and times, that He's there for us. This was not part of my message, but I'm feel that I need to say this. And there are people here right now that I cannot tell you what they are going through. But it's just horrible, horrible. And you know them, but I am not going to mention names here. But we need to keep everybody in prayer. Because the days are coming short, my brother. So with Jesus, He understood, He understands everything that we're going through. He suffered everything that we're going through. He knows everything that we're going through. He even went beyond that, and He died for everything that we weren't supposed to in our sins. He loves us. And the Lord spoke to me earlier this week as I was sitting by myself on a log back in the woods by the lake. The word love, love. I spent a half an hour praying. I didn't know what was going on. I couldn't understand some things that were going on. You know what it's like. And alone time, I had a Jesus moment, as some people would call it. I could say I had a time with my love, my first love. And He told me, you know, love, love, The best four-letter word, it's not a bad word, by the way. So, verse 25, you ever think that they would leave Jesus alone? They remember they tried to trick him, deceive him, and now they're going to try again. It's just amazing with people who were without God, what they can do. Verse 21, and we left off with this last week, it says here, then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whether I go, ye cannot come. He was referring again, like we talked about last week, of those people who rejected God. In other words, you know, you can witness to somebody, but when they get to the point was, remember when you were a kid, they used to call it mind games, you know, and they play tricks on your mind. Well, Jesus is not into that. Jesus is the truth. And he, you know, we have a God of humor too. We have a God of love, and we have a God that understands things, that he's, you know, a person. He's a real character in a sense. He's sovereign. He's holy. He's righteous. All the good things you want in a God. But more than anything else, he loves us. But these people went beyond that. They went beyond that. And Jesus saying, where I go, you can't come. You know, because they were one of the candidates, as I've said before, about the unpardonable sin. That's when you keep on rejecting God, rejecting God. Now you're saying, well, wait a minute. When is the breaking point? Well, God only knows that, number one, because you keep on praying, you know, by the grace of God, so are we. But it comes to the point where God starts to harden our hearts, like with Pharaoh. He hardened Pharaoh's heart like 8 or 9 times, and all because they didn't want to hear it. And so when people are like that, Jesus, you know, you just have to be truthful. And Jesus is saying here, that you cannot come where I go, and that's where are they going? To a place called hell. And a place God created for Satan and his angels back when they rebelled in heaven. And then when mankind had fallen, as God enlarged that. Okay? And so one day, hell and death and the grave and all that will be cast into the lake of fire before the presence of God and his angels, like it says in Revelation. Forever and ever. Okay? Yes, God will make a new heavens and a new earth, but if you read scripture in its context, that will be a reminder. We'll look at the Lord Jesus Christ when we see him in heaven. He'll have the nail prints in his hands and his feet to remind us of who we are, and by his grace. And what a wonderful time of joy. I hope you had a good laugh this week. I hope you did it yourself. I did it myself because I'm thinking, Lord, this is just better than I ever could imagine. You know, life is crazy. You know, but God, you make it all make sense. And I want to encourage you, brother. So, okay, they looked at him like, why should I care? These high-minded, hypocritical, smug, religious people. And you get them all over the place. They're not just religious people. They're everywhere. Okay. And, you know, you love them and you have to understand where they're coming from like Christ did. And you figure, okay, I did what you want me to. Let me go on to the next person, like we do when we witness. So, and then verse 22 says, then said the Jews. Now, here comes another just rude, a very bad thing to say to somebody, to God of all people. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself also? This is talking about suicide. Suicide, it's a very horrible thing to say. To the Jews, that was the darkest place in hell to go to, according to Josephus and other historians would say back in that day. You know, oh, what are you going to do, Jesus? Kill yourself? Talking about this death that you're referring to. They were so blind because they were willfully ignorant. It's one thing to say, no, I don't want it, but it's another thing to probe and test somebody and mock them. And I've had people I've witnessed to, they say, well, where's that in the scripture? How do you know that's true? You know, once they hit that cross line or the crossroads, like what Jesus did with Pontius Pilate, what is truth? That's when I shut down. I'm done. Because you cannot tell me what truth is. That's the problem it is with the confusion over in the schools today with our kids. You know, they are so confused. And when you go out to the playgrounds, you go out and talk to people, you know, they have no idea what you're talking about. And some of them don't want to talk about it, and others are just like, look at you like lost. And so you share Jesus. And then you know what? The world's got them too, because guess what? They can't wait to get back into whatever they're doing. On the courts out here playing basketball, going out and talking to moms and dads about Jesus, you know. And it's like, okay, who are you and what do you want? And how dare you, some of them, talk about Jesus? That's a very private thing, and I got that. But, you know, you got to do it in love. You got to do it by the Spirit, or else it doesn't mean anything. So they got Jesus. They thought, well, now he's saying, we got you, Jesus. You know, don't ever let the devil lie to you and say, I got you, because no. Guess what? Greater is he that's in you than he's in the world. But not only that, but we're set free by Christ. We become encaged, enclosed when we allow him to do that, okay? Even with trials and all, when we're hit down at the very bottom of the pit in our lives and we're saying, Lord, I don't know what to do. You know what? God's still there with you. He says, I am who I am. And he's creator of everything, and he knows everything. He's sovereign, he's Lord, he's majestic, he is all powerful and mighty. So we have to lift ourselves up, say, Lord, help me, lift me up. So then the Jew says, will he kill himself? Because, and then he says this, whether I go, ye cannot come. In other words, they tried to insult him. And by the way, suicide is prevalent today amongst teenagers more than anything else. You know, out of all the rich countries in the world, guess where whose suicide is mostly done? Right here in the United States. Right where you have all the goodies, right? And people are empty inside because they realize it does not bring happiness and health and well-being. It's all surface. It's all pretend. You know, well, we're going to have a good time, but that doesn't last forever. Jesus lasts forever. And so, you know, we need to pray. Of course, the suicide comes through depression and many other areas there. But you know what? People don't have to go there. And by the way, let me get this straight for theological position. Suicide is not the unpardonable sin. People say, well, that person killed themselves, so he must be going to hell. I don't believe that for a minute. I believe that a lot of things could take us home prematurely. And people are, sometimes they self-mutilate themselves. Okay? There's all kinds of things that the doctors tell us, psychiatrists or whatever you want to call them. It's all acts of sin because we're sinners. But that's not the unpardonable sin. The unpardonable sin is rejecting God and hardening your heart to the point where you don't want anything more to do with him. And God forbid for that to happen. So that's where these religious leaders were. They weren't satisfied. You know, Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. Jesus says this. Jesus says that. They don't want to hear it. Then we see verse 23, and he said unto them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, and I am not of this world. In John chapter 3, verse 19, it's an interesting statement, 3:19, it says this, that, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into this world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Because you wonder why people are, and how we are too, to a sense, that if we're not careful, we can get drawn away by our own lust. Evil always looks good, in a sense, until it traps us and ensnares us. And that's exactly what's happened to these leaders. They were power hungry. They wanted what the temple had. Remember, there were over 86 generations of the priestly function that they had all the way back to the time of Aaron. And are you kidding me? Nobody's going to give up that power and position. We have people today in our government that don't want to give up. Why not have, and I'm being very careful when I'm not mentioning names in politics, why not just have certain term limits? Why not? You know? But that's not the way people want it. They want power. and they want to keep it, and they will do everything, you know. So you have the government and you have the deep state, and you have people that are in control behind the scenes, but Jesus is in control of everything today. And so you see here Jesus says this. He says, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, then ye shall die in your sins. It's amazing. All they had to do is go back to Genesis chapter 3 and verses 14 and 15. Jesus says, I am who I am. Let me read this to you to Moses at the burning bush. They should have known this. A lot of people today should know this, but they don't because they're willfully ignorant. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, I shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? You know, who is God anyway? He's talking to Moses in Exodus 3, 13 through 15. What shall I say unto them? The Lord answers back to Moses in the burning bush. It actually wasn't burning. That was God's essence there. He was that. He says, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. I am that I am. Can you say to yourself today when you look at, go to get your passports renewed or your license renewed, I am who I am? Well, we have to take a DNA test. We have to do this and that. You know, but God says who he is, and we have to believe it by faith. But they didn't want to listen. And he said unto them, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, has sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus saith thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. All generations up to this time, and they still couldn't understand who he was. Sounds like today, isn't it? You know, why not have everything different from what God says? We know better. So you just look at the news and you understand that's true. Don't need to say anything to anybody. But I love what Jesus had to say too in Matthew 5:20, saying, you don't get who I am? Well, you know, you'll have to do something further than this. In Matthew 5:20 says, for I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. You have to do even better than that. And they're like, well, there's no perfect person. If they had only believed and understood what the scriptures were, but they are so consumed about themselves, and that's what people who love darkness rather than light. So when we look back and how these people died in their sins, we see that they were self-righteous, they were worldly, and pray again for our youth because they're so caught up in the world. You know, trying to witness to people with kids, and they're just like this, you know, oh, that's nice, but I don't know you, you know, or, you know, well, we go to our own place. Thank you. Okay. It doesn't discourage me. It's least I'm getting the word out. At least I'm telling them, you know, and it's usually because of my own fear, my own selfishness that maybe I don't want to go out. Maybe I don't want to tell people, but I have to overcome that. And so thank God that he gives us the power and strength to do that. So, you know, Jesus wants us to continue to witness because he loves us. And, of course, by the grace of God, so are we too. So but sin can be very powerful. Then they said in verse 25, they weren't done with him yet. Are you kidding me? They wanted to crucify him. They hated him. They didn't matter whether it was sunshine, rainy, or whatever kind of day that was. They were out to get him because, Jesus, you're a problem. And I thank God that more that we all go through today, that Jesus is not the problem. Jesus is the solution in our lives. And he can help us. And he knows everything is going to happen today. And guess what? 3 weeks from now, he's going to know what's going on too. Isn't that great? So we can rest assured. We have that blessed assurance. Verse 25, then they said unto him, who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. You know, they still weren't satisfied. You know, people just realize that with all these people crossing the border with the children, There were over 85,000 children this past year that were used as they went missing. Missing. Okay? And the Lord knows what happened to them. Ever since the border was opened this last year, 85,000 children, excuse me. I wish it was just 85. Not even that. I wish it was never even one. They can't find them. But there's also a statistic put out that through pedophilia and just treating these kids wrongfully, because they use them for all kinds of things. Here in the United States, it's a $180 billion business, $180 billion. Say, what? Yeah, it's big money when it comes to sex trade with kids. And I'm never much of a person to promote a movie behind the pulpit, but there is one out today because I know it's just filled with Hollywood. Even movies with the Bible in it, I question them sometimes because they're not always accurate. And I always compare it to the Word. And I know there's no perfect movies out there, you know. But it's called The Sound of Freedom. It's a true story built in Colombia about this guy who had a family, had four or five daughters and a couple sons and a house and doing quite well. And he sold everything because he really God burdened his heart one day about these kids that were being sex slaves, sex traffickers. And it's outdone even all other movies there in the box office. And I'm just saying this is because they're going to put out a second one since it did so well about the kids in Haiti. It's happening. And why do big businesses criticize this? There are actually people criticizing this because they're part of it. You know, it's so disgusting and so slimy. I can't mention it behind the pulpit, but God knows how slimy sin is. You know, so I'm going to get off and leave that one alone. But you need to pray for the kids that are caught in sex trafficking because it's very real and they cover it up very well. And why do these big businesses are so anti-God? Because there's a big stock trader called Black Mountain. They're worth $10 trillion. And they've gotten into each one of these big businesses around here in the United States, like Target, Walmart, or percentage of the stock trade. And if you have 20% of the stock market, guess what? You can call some shots in there. And the CEO of Black Mountain, and I heard this through a couple reliable sources, it's not just one, but apparently he's a Marxist. And he says, you know what we're going to do with the United States? We're just going to keep on marching right through. We're going to keep going on. We're going to press and make sure that our agenda goes through. And these people at Jesus' time, they were no different. They had an agenda. They had some dark secret that they were keeping behind the scenes. I tell you what, Jesus only knows. I tell you what, it only takes a God, the universe, for him to see all this because it just boggles the mind. Sin boggles the mind. And so what people can do in this society. So, but they still question, who are you? They didn't want to know who he was. They were trying to trick him. They were very slimy. Verse 26, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but you that sent me is true. Okay. And I speak of the world, those things which I have heard of him and understood not that he spake of him of the Father. What they didn't realize is that Jesus, theologically, and the Father are in perfect sync with one another. Okay, they're one or the other. The Father is in me and I is him. Do you realize in class I learned many years ago, and I heard this from different professors, that you have God dwelling in us too? I realized once I got saved, Jesus came to my heart, forgave me. I understood that. And I realized I have the Holy Spirit that sealed me with his promise until the day of redemption, until I go home to be with him. We belong to God whether we like it or not. Isn't that great? So there's nothing, no trial, nothing can get in our way apart from the love of Christ, height or depth or whatever, okay? But do you realize that you have the Godhead that dwells in you? Because the Godhead is one. One and three. Yes, they're separate, but they're all the same. And Jesus is saying, I and the Father are one. Perfect sync. Remember, the Holy Spirit would come and go in the Old Testament and New Testament. Once the Pentecost came, the Holy Spirit came down. Simple truths, right? Sunday school stuff. But take courage today and realize that you got something powerful in you that can surpass anything this world could ever have, even the snake, too, Satan. You've got something so powerful in you, okay? Just take hold on for a minute. Some of you going through some really hard trials, just remember, he understands that too, and he loves you. He loves you very much. He understands. He wants us to make wise decisions. He wants us to seek him and to understand that he loves us more than we could ever understand ourselves. We just have to take hold of that and get some of that peace, the passable understanding. So Jesus goes on to say, verse 28, and then they said unto Jesus, said unto them, because they were so blind with their sin, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, and he's talking about in verse 28, lifting up, he's talking about the cross of Christ. So they didn't understand that. People today get offended at the cross, just like Paul said over and over again. And Jesus said too, they don't hate you, they hate me. Paul said he was constantly, people were offended during his missionary journey that, you know what? The cross, they understood how horrible that was. But, you know, we all have our crosses today. We all have our crosses to bear. And let me tell you, Jesus is right there to pick up the cross and help us along. He is there. I want to encourage you today. So going on to say this, when he have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And so Jesus would be, what, crucified? He would die. Remember, when he died, he gave up his own life. Nobody took his life. Isn't that wonderful? He's in control of death. He's in control of hell. He's in control of the grave. He's in control of it all. We just have to be faithful and do our part, what he's called us to do. One day, this is going to be all over with. Just like you opening and closing your eyes. That's how quick the rapture will happen. In the twinkling of an eye. It's going to happen so quick. I'm just like, wow, this is really neat. So they didn't understand it. Jesus is saying, look, the Father and I are one. The crucifixion's coming up. They have no idea what he's talking about. Even Christ's disciples didn't understand it fully. Today, we don't fully understand everything in our lives, do we? We don't. But I know one thing is for certain. We are saved and we are going to heaven. And so sin does not have dominion over us. It's what I have told people before. It's how much we give over to our enemy. Okay? So think it not strange, brethren, when you go through fiery temptations and trials. It has the idea of you're going through the fire. And you got your eyes wide open and you know it. But God's always there with you with, that's to say, a cup of water to refresh you. Say, I'm right there with you. I'm going to get you through this. This is not going to last forever. I love you. And you can take some joy and some peace. So then we see that in verse 29, and he that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone, for I do all those things which please him. And he spake of these words, and many believed him. Now you have people, a lot of people didn't. Remember the person who was on the cross? I mean, excuse me, the person who was on the cross. You know, the thief. The one that was on the right-hand side, I believe. So Jesus, when you remember me in paradise. And the Lord looked over at him while he was suffering and was heaving, and it was just unbearable torture. He's saying, I will remember you this day. That day, that thief went up to heaven. There is no sin that God cannot forgive. There is every time, you know, we sin as Christians, there's nothing that God cannot forgive. Isn't that wonderful? But for the unsaved, Well, what happened to the other thief? You know, he mocked him. He says, oh yeah, it's all your fault. You know, get us down from here. Then there was another man, a centurion, who looked up at the cross after they had parted his garments. You know, how humiliating. You have, oh, by the way, the victims on the cross were only inches off the ground. And why did they do that? Because they used to have wild dogs in that day. They used to go around chewing on their feet. I could tell you some other gory things, but I tell you one thing. There was a man looked up at the cross, and he says, this surely must have been the Son of Man. This is, something's different here. You know, I'm talking about earthquake when Jesus died. Remember the earthquake happened? And remember all those people that rose from the grave, walked amongst Jerusalem? It's all right there in the Gospels. Remember it got so dark? And, you know, things were like, okay, this is supernatural. This is different. This is God. I don't understand it, but I believe it. And sure enough, that's why we're here today. And the Roman soldier looked up and said, this must truly be the Son of Man. So you had two people believed. Well, just down the road after Christ had died and he was buried, he rose again. A few weeks later, you have Pentecost. What happens? Peter preached, right? And you had 3,000 people got saved. And they were what? Cut to the heart. That meant like God's word went right in through their hearts. You know how wicked our hearts are, right? We're deceitful above all imagination. It means, you know, without Christ, we're without help. And these people were cut. They were like, oh, we feel this. Oh, we got this. You know. And so, people, we don't have to die in our sins. I'm going to close with this. We don't have to die in our sins. Thank God for that. I am so thankful that I'm saved. I am thankful for you all who are saved. Because we might be few in number, but I tell you what, we have something the world just cannot have that will pass away someday. And, you know, it's just like the days. They're hot. You know, now it's hot. They get cool. And before you know it, wintertime. How many people here want winter to come? I actually had somebody tell me the other day, I can't wait till winter comes here. I like it when it's cold. I have to laugh a little bit. I'm missing part of my teeth anyway, so I had to go like, must be, you know, kind of bad, you know. So, you know, people don't know what's happening one day from another. If they don't know Christ, it's a horrible thing. It's a horrible thing. And I fear. It makes me fear God more, seeing that other people walk away from him. But thank God there's enough of us, enough lights in this world, enough love, that people still know who we are. And by the grace of God, we are saved. But people don't need to die in their sins. They don't have to. And we know enough of them in our lives, in our families, and our loved ones, and even in churches, too. There are people going there. And you know what? God's in control. Trust the Lord. Let me close with this. Trust the Lord with the Lord this week while you're with him, as you leave church today. And, you know, he's right there with you, you know, and he understands. And you can pray and say, Lord, give me that peace. Give me that love. Remember, I closed this back in the 60s. They were talking about peace, you know, and love. You know, they were talking about a different kind of love. They were talking about a different kind of peace. I'm not going to get into that. Okay. The true peace and love we have is through the Holy Spirit, and it's through the fruit of the Spirit. So just relax. Enjoy your day in the Lord. And see that it's been good to be with the Lord today. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your peace. Pray, Lord Jesus, that when there comes times of trials and suffering, Lord, there's two ways of looking at it. Either one, it will help us to grow and understand, and that you truly understand this. And Lord, the other way is taking it the wrong way and getting angry and bitter and upset. Lord, help us to look at all the good in everything, all the good, and our sufferings and the misunderstandings that you have a plan. I don't understand it. I'm sure nobody here does. But you do. Because there are some people who have honestly tried the very best that they can in this life to do what's right, and still it's not right. But you make sense of everything. You make it right because you show us that your ways are higher than this world's ways. You give us a piece of passable understanding. We thank you for that. Lord, we pray anybody who's online who doesn't know you, Lord, that you would convict them, cut them to the heart, and help them to understand it's all about your word and opening up to you. And pray, Lord, that your spirit, you'll show them the way, the truth, and the life. And Lord, thank you that we can never, ever, ever, ever give up on people. Lord, by the grace of God, so are we. Thank you for the precious blood. We thank you for the church, the calling of your saints. We thank you for the prayers. Thank you for the love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you would please stand if you are able to do so and turn your hymnals to hymn number 546, For All the Saints. This is based upon Revelation 14:13. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, so that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow with them. We will sing verses 1, 2, and 3. Remain standing for our closing prayer.
Paul, could you close us in a word of prayer, please?
Lord Jesus, we thank you for the power we spend with you today. We look forward to the day when we will be teaching you to live in heaven. Assist us now with your blessing. We expect to begin next week to be thy will. Yes, and all in Jesus' name.
Thank you. Have a good week.